Today's share of the Daf Yomi is Gumarim Bavim Letzia Daf Nun Tes. We continue to learn for the safety and success of all the Chayalim, to bring back the Chatufim b'mehera. They should all be healthy. Anybody in need of a refuah shleimah should have one b'mehera, and they'd be shalom on all of Klal Yisrael. We're also learning today, Le'ili Nishmas, my father's yard site, Avi Mari Yosef Nisim ben Yechesko. It's the 17th yard site. He was a very, very wonderful person, special person, as everybody obviously, hopefully, thinks of their father. But my father is really a very special person. He lived through Kristallnacht. He came to the United States essentially just with a sister. And Baruch Hashem was able to build a beautiful family here in the United States with my mama, Leha Shalom, who was a Holocaust survivor herself from Auschwitz and Bergen-Belsen. And Be'ezus Hashem. All the things that I've been able to accomplish, whatever that is, that small amount, is all due to my parents. My father was a person who was certainly an Ohev Torah. He certainly loved Shul. He loved Torah. He loved mitzvos. And B'ezus Hashem, I should bring in Aliyah to his holy neshama with our learning today. Okay, we pick up on 18, 19 lines down from the top of Nun Tesomet Aleph with the words, Omer Rav Chinna Berei de Rav Idi. Rav Chinna, who was the son of Rav Idi, said, what does the pasuk mean when it tells us, V'lo sonu ish es amiso? It's an unusual lashon, the word amiso. So Rashi tells us it means am ito, which the drasha tells us here in the Gemara, am sheitcha b'torah uv'mitzos al tonehu. Somebody who is a shomer Torah mitzvos, you have a special obligation not to do onoaz dvarim to him. Not let cheat anybody. So that's why it didn't use the lashon of amiso when we're dealing with financial onoah. However, when we're dealing here with onoaz dvarim, it specifically is written for amiso, who is amito, somebody who is a person who's a shomer Torah mitzvah, somebody who is a person who is with you in the serving of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you have a special obligation not to even hurt them with words. Right now is going to go off on a discussion about how important this idea is not to hurt somebody else. And we'll have a fascinating, one of the most fascinating stories of all Shas in today's daf. Amar Rav, Rav tells us, Le'olam, always, Yehei Adam Zareh Ba'onoas Ishto. One has to be especially careful not to go and hurt one's wife, not to go and say things to one's wife that would cause her pain and suffering. Why? Shvitol Shedim Asu Mitzuya Onoasa Krova. Because a woman, the natural way of a woman is, especially when a woman is being hurt by her husband, it's going to bring her to tears very quickly. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees those tears, and he sees her affliction, he sees that she has been disturbed and hurt, therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take vengeance on that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come to her protection, and Rachman Lutzan, the husband, is not going to be in good shape. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar tells us, "V'yom shenechu beis hamikdash, never from the day that the beis hamikdash was destroyed, b'mehera b'yameinu should be rebuilt. Ninalu shari tefila, the gates of tefila have been closed, they have been locked, and one cannot go and have the tefilas answered in the same way that they would have been answered when the beis hamikdash was around. And this is based upon a pasuk, Shneimar, the pasuk from Eicha tells us, Gam ki ezak, even though I call out." And I beg you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to give us a salvation. Sosam tfilosi. My tfilos have been shut up. My tfilos have been blocked. However, very important. Even though the gates of tfilah have been somewhat blocked, however, the gates that tears of people that shed tears to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, those are never locked. Those are never closed off. And this is also based upon a pasuk that we say in Tehillim, Shenemar, Shimo Tvilosi Hashem. Hashem, you will hear our tvilos, Vishavosi, and our requests for salvation. Hazina El Dimosi, please pay attention to my tears, Al Techerash. And we darshan this, that they have not been silenced. They will not be silenced. We say this as a definitive statement. El Dimosi Al Techerash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never, ever shuts out listening to the tears, the cries of people. And therefore, Rav's statement that when one's wife is never hurt, so we understand that those tears, those Shari Dima, go right up to HaShemayim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears them. Rav said further, now this seems to be contradictory what he said, we'll explain in a moment that it's not. He said, if somebody just listens blindly to what their wife suggests, they're going to go straight to Gehenna. And we bring a passage from Malachim Aleph, which deals with Izevel and Achav, where it says, Shenemar rak lo haya ki achav the gomer, and Rashi tells us, as is often the case, sofa dekra is the important part. And the end of that pasuk says, asher heisata oso izevel ishto, that Achav was led astray by his wife. Achav was a wicked person. Gemara has stories about Achav, but his wife Izevel was even worse, and she led him astray. So Rav tells us, be very careful, don't just listen absolutely blindly to what your wife says. Rapapa brings a question. Amalei Rapapa Rabbi says, wait a second. V'amrei inshe. However, the people have the very common saying. They have an aphorism, which is, Itzah gutzach. If your wife is short, so then gachin, bend over, v'tilchoshla, and listen to her. Now, that means that you should go listen to your wife. How can Rav say, don't listen to your wife? So obviously, lo kasha, there's no steer over here. Rav wasn't saying, never listen to your wife. Rav was the one that just said, make sure you don't do onah to your wife. If you're chas v'shalom going to hurt your wife, that's a very terrible thing. So obviously, not listening to your wife is going to be a terrible thing. So there's no steer over here. Lo kasha. Ha b'milei d'alma, v'ha b'milei d'beisa. The first teretz that we give is, yes, you should listen to your wife when you're dealing with household matters. Your wife should be in control of the house. The wife is the Akaris Abayis, so she runs the house. So yes, listen to your wife when it comes to matters of the house. Again, it doesn't mean you blindly listen to the wife, but it means that you certainly should make sure that you're listening to your wife when it comes to household affairs. However, when it comes to more external affairs, so then a woman would be much more qualified in general for household affairs, and the man would be theoretically more qualified in terms of external affairs because he is more out in the world. And the woman in those days certainly was more in the house. So again, these aren't dinim. These were practical advice that one should listen to one's wife. But especially one should listen to one's wife, and certainly should always treat your wife nicely. But one should listen to one's wife, especially when it comes to mili the beisa, as opposed to mili the alma. Maybe in that situation, what I was saying, be careful because she doesn't know the world as well as you do. So therefore, you shouldn't just blindly listen to her. That's teretz number one. Teretz number two, lishna achrina, is the answer is ha b'milei d'shmaya, ha b'milei d'alma. When it comes to secular matters, when it comes to things that aren't halacha, that aren't din Torah, so then your wife probably knows better than you. However, when it comes to learning, when it comes to things that require psak halacha, chances are that you know more than your wife. Again, this is not a din. This is not telling us you must do this. It's telling us that in general, when it comes to matters that are secular matters, routine matters, mili d'alma, so then your wife probably knows better than you. However, when it comes to things that are based upon halacha, based upon minhag, based upon what do we do in this situation from a halachic point of view, so then chances are the husband is more learned than the wife, and he would be better qualified to give that answer. Father always liked a nice joke, and there's a famous, very lighthearted comment over here that two people were married for very many years, and they were very happily married, and they asked him, what's the secret to your success? So he said, well, we followed the Gemara very, very carefully. It says that when it comes to Mile the Alma, so then we always listen to the wife. When it comes to Mile the Shmaya, we always listen to the husband. And he says, Baruch Hashem, in the X number of years that they were married, he said, we never had a religious issue that came up. Everything was always Mile the Alma. In other words, very smart thing to always listen to your wife. Okay. Amar Ruchista. Ruchista tells us, Kol Ashar Ninolim Chutz Mishari Ona. Ruchista said a similar idea to what we said before, that all the gates in Shemayim are closed. We don't have the same access to HaKadosh Baruch Hu never since the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, with the exception of the Shari Ona, the gates that listen to how people have been hurt. So those gates are always open, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to the people that have been hurt. Shenemar, as the pasuk tells us, this is a pasuk from Amos, where it says, "Pinei Hashem nitzav al chomas anoch," that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is standing, so to say, on the wall of anoch, and anoch is a plumb line. So a plumb line is making sure that the wall is straight. You hold on with a string to a piece of lead, you drop it, and it will go straight down, and then you can see, is the wall straight or not? And he was holding in his hand this anoch, this plumb line. Now, what does that mean? It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to very accurately, a plumb line is something that's very, very accurate. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to look at things. If they're not 100% accurate, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take matters into his own hand. Amar Rielazer. Rielazer tells us another statement. HaKol Nifra Bidei Shaliach. Normally HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends a malach. He sends a shaliach. He sends some sort of a messenger to go carry out his will. Not, however, when it comes to Anoach. Chutz mi Anoach. When it comes to Anoach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself goes and takes matters into his own hands. As the pasuk that we just brought down from Amos ended, it said, Shenemar, Uviyado Anoach, Hashem himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu biatzmo, lo yedei malach, lo yedei shliach. He will go and take vengeance, so to say. He will go and take retribution on the person who Rachmona Litzlan did Anoach. Amar Rivo, Rivo says another statement, Gimel ein apargod nilol bifnehem. There are three people for which the pargod Rashi tells us is a mechitza, shebein shchina litzva morom. There are three things that, so to say, separate HaKadosh Baruch Hu from even the malachim in Shemayim. So that's the pargod, right? We have the famous story of that, the four that went into the pargod, the four great rabbanim that went to the pargod, and only Rabbi Akiva came out okay. The other three people, including Acher, did not. In any event, so Rabbi Vo tells us that there are three people that ain't a pargoat nilo bifneim, that the pargoat doesn't separate them, that pargoat isn't going to be a successful curtain for them. As Rashi says, it won't be, we have the gears of lahafsid, but it says on the side it should be lahafsik riyosim in amokum. So that, so to say, this partition, which may prevent some of the things that they do from not being immediately acted upon by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so for these three sins that we're about to say, Tomid Roa Osom Achi Pora. Kodesh Baruch Hu constantly sees this, so to say, and will not let it go by without taking retribution, Achi Pora, until you get paid back. One of these three things, Ono, which we just spoke about, Mikazel, thievery, and Avodah Zara. Where do we see each one? So we have a pasuk for each one. So the pasuk, oh no, we just said, oh no, dursiv, we are to anach. HaKadosh Baruch himself has this plumb line in his hand. What do you see by Gezel? Gezel dursiv, chomos v'shod yishoma ba'al ponai tamid. There's a pasuk from Yirmiyo where it says that HaKadosh Baruch constantly sees this Gezel, this chomos and shod, which is various types of Gezel, he constantly sees and hears them, they're in his face, al ponai tamid. In other words, there's no pargo they're separating from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, seeing it all the time. And then in Avodah Zarah, where do we see that? So this is a pasuk from Yeshaya. It says, in regards to Avodah Zarah, Dechsev, Ha'om Hamachisim Osi, Alponai Tamid, V'gomer, that they're constantly in front of me. In other words, the pargo doesn't shield us in any way for these three sins. Our Rehuda tells us, Li'olami Adam Zoyer B'tfua B'sok Beso, since we were talking about what causes Nebuch difficulties between a husband and a wife, so Rehuda brings down an additional statement. He says, one should be very, very careful in terms of always having food in the house. B'tfua B'sok Beso. One should be very careful to have food in this house, because as we unfortunately know, and anybody that is involved at all in pastoral dealings, and anybody that's involved in any way with certain chesed type of opportunities knows that when there's poverty, there's going to be fighting. Doesn't mean that if you're rich or wealthy that there's no fighting, but it means that sometimes fights go because of poverty. How come you can't make more money? Why can't I get this new thing? Why can't we afford this? Why can't we go away? So there's going to be fighting Nebuch if there's lack of tour. So therefore, Rav Yehuda tells us, Zoyer b'tvua b'sok beso, be very careful, try to have an adequate amount of food in the house. She'ein meriva mitzuya b'sok beso, shel adam ela lizketua. One of the most common causes Nebuch for kitata, for riv, for quarrels to be in the house, is because there's not enough food, not enough money. Shenemar, hasom gvulech shalom chaylev chitim yasbiach. If you want to have shalom, so then make sure that you have chaylev chitim, you have food in the house, yasbiach, to satisfy you. Amr Papa, Papa adds further, hainu d'amri inshi, this is what people say, the popular aphorism, kimishlom sare mikada, nokish v'ose tigra d'deisa. When you have a container of barley, kada the sari. So sari the mikada, when the container is empty of the barley, so then nokit v'ose tigra d'deisa. Then Rashi has two pshatim over here. The first pshat that Rashi says is hatagor mikashkesh. So then you have quarrel that comes and bangs around in that container. Or Rashi says in Ishamati, here another pshat, hakad b'kashkesh kederek klei rekum. So he says this container will then make noise like an empty container does. When something's inside of it, it makes a little bit of noise. So that's this kimekashkin olah. So therefore, when there's an empty container, there's going to be noise in the house. In other words, there's going to be quarrel in the house. From Rav Chinen Rav Papa, another statement from Rav Chinen Rav Papa, he said, lo'olam ye odem zori b'tvua b'soch bei. So as he had brought down before, a person should be very careful to have food in the house, Shaloniku Yisrael Dalim El Aliske Tua. He adds on to what Rabbi Yehuda brought down before, and he says that because the Jewish people are only called poor, we're only called Dalim when it comes to food, lack of food. Shenemar, as the pasuk tells us, this is a pasuk that we have in Shoftim, where it tells us, Shenemar, Bohoyo Im Zora Yisrael V'gomer. It says when Klai Yisrael has food, they're harvesting the food, they're planting the food. Uksiv, then it says afterwards, Vayachanu Aleihem. And then when the Midianites came to go and fight them, so Midian came and they surrounded us and they Nebuch destroyed us and they destroyed the land. And only afterwards it says, Uksiv, Vayidal Yisroel Ma'od Midian. Here it uses the lashon of Dalim, that we were poor, and it means that they destroyed all the crops. So that's when we were called poor. So Vayidal is referring to grain, it's referring to Al Iske Tfuah. Okay. Rabbi Yechel, but Rabbi Yechel does this another din. One should be especially careful in regards to the cover of one's wife. This is one of the most important statements of all of Shas. It tells us that a person should be very, very careful with his wife's cover, because the reason why you have it good isn't because your business acumen, it's because you're such a sharp trader on the stock market, it's because you're such a great earner. No, it's Ella Bishvil Ishto. The reason why it is brought in the house is because of one's wife. And we see this from Avram Avinu, no less. Shenemar, Uli Avram Etiv Ba'avura. Paro gave Avram a lot of good things because of Sarah. And we dash now from here that your wife is the source of goodness in the house. Your wife is the source of blessing in the house. And therefore, Rechavu reminds us one should be very, very careful about the kavod of one's wife. And this is, in fact, what people say. This is what Rava told the people of Mechuzah. The people of Mechuzah were well off. This was a wealthy area. So Rava told the people of Mechuzah, Okiru l'neshaychu, treat your wives with great kavod. In order that you should become rich. If you want to become a seer is rich, right? The tough and the shin are interchangeable. If you want to become rich, so then treat your wife nicely. If you give honor to your wife, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, yeah, that's where I want to put my money. Now we have this famous story called the Tanur Achnoi. This is a famous story about Rabbi Elezer ben Hyrcanus, Rabbi Elezer HaGadol, Rabbi Elezer Shamutihu. This is the famous story where Rabbi Elezer HaGadol, he was an unbelievably great Talmud Chacham, but he had a machlokas with the Chachamim, and it ended up putting him into Cherem. And we start off the story by what was the fight about this tanur, this oven, in Achnoi. Either that was the name of a person, name of a place, or, as we'll see, it was Achnoi is a snake. And we'll see that this is a story that has a description of something as a snake. So, Tznan Hasim, we learned in this Mishnah, in Caleb. Chatocho chulios, if one has an oven and it is in different pieces, it's in parts, it's in sections. V'nosan chol ben chulio l'chulio. Now, the oven itself was earthenware, but you went and put sand in between each one to go and connect the pieces together. That's the simplest understanding of this. We're not learning Caleb right now. We're not going to go into the details of this. But the question is, does this oven now have the status of not being an earthenware kli, and therefore it's not makabel tumah? As Rashi says, in this situation, Rabbi Elezer is going to say, ein ze kli cheres, elo binyan ke'ein kli glolim. So this is comparable to kalim that are made out of dung, or kalei adoma, or kalim that are made out of dirt, and not forged in a fire to make them into kli cheres, which of course can be makabel tumah. So this type of an oven that had this hole, the sand in between it, so Rabbi Eliezer Mitar, Rabbi Eliezer says this is not a kli cheres, and therefore anything coming into contact with this, if this had become, so to say, tame, well, it doesn't have the ability to become tame. So therefore, anything that came into contact with it remains tahar, because this oven can't accept tumah. It's not the type of a kli that's a kli cheres, for example, that can accept tumah. And the Chacham disagreed. The Chacham mitamim. We turn to Nuntes Omid Beis. And this is Zehu Tanur Shel Achnoi. This is the Tanur of a snake. Rashi says, Nochosh Darko Lasos Biagula Lachnis Novo Itzopip. You have a snake that coils itself up and it puts its tail, so to say, in its mouth, and it wraps itself around itself, around itself, around itself, and it makes itself into a coiled type of a situation. And here we're going to see that that's going to be important for this mice in a moment, as we'll see. Others, Rash Tosus tells us, the top Tosus, Yesh Negoris Chachnoi. The Chem Yushami, it's Chachnoi. The Chachnoi, what does that mean? Zen Nochosh. That's the Nochosh. The Shema, Baal HaTanur, Shahaya Ose, Shmo Kain. Maybe the one who made this Tanur, his name was Achnoi. And therefore, that's why it's called the Tanur of Chachnoi or Achnoi. Okay. In any event, what's the story? My Achnoi, the Gemara asks, what does this mean, this coiled type of a snake? So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Sheikifu Dvarim Ki Achna Zu Vitim Uvu. That there was a big fight over here, L'shem Shemayim, between Rabbi Elezer and the Chachamim, and the Chachamim surrounded, so to say, Sheikifu Dvarim, like a snake surrounds itself, it makes itself into a coiled thing, and they ultimately paskin, the Chachamim said, you are wrong, Rabbi Elezer, and he didn't give in. Rabbi Elezer says, no, I'm right. As we'll see in the story, he wants to demonstrate to the Chachamim, I'm right, and he wouldn't give in. And ultimately, the Chachamim put him into Cherem for not listening to their opinion. After all, you have to follow the majority opinion. What happened? So, Tana, we learned in the Braisa. But also, Hayom, that very day, when they were having this discussion in the Beis Medrash about this Tanur Achnoi. So, Heshiv Rabbi Eliezer called Tshuvo Shavolim. So every time they asked him a question, how, what about this, what about that? He answered up every single question that they asked him about his Shita. And he proved to them that in fact the Tanur should not have been Tomei. It was not a Kli Cheres. However, Velo Kiblu and the Chachamim did not accept his arguments and they didn't listen to him. Amalem, he said to them, how can you not accept my arguments? Im Halacha Kimosi, in fact, if I'm right, Choruv Zeh Yochiach, let this Choruv, now Choruv is a carob tree, it's a boxer tree. And he says, let this tree, Nekar Choruv Mimukomo Meya Ama, let this tree become uprooted, let it fly through the air, and then let it come down and be rooted 100 Amas away, 200 feet away. Others say, Amalei Arba Meya Sama, others say that it moved 400 Amos, 800 feet away, assuming an Amos is 2 feet. Some say it's a foot and a half, whatever. The bottom line is, he said, a miracle will occur if I'm right. And that's exactly what happened. Amrulei, the Chacham said back to Rabbi Eliezer, Ein Mevi and Raya Minachar. We don't have riots from miracles. Torah, as we'll see at the end, will say, Lo Bashamayimi, the Torah is given over to the Chacham and to Paskin, and we, the majority, Paskin in this way. And you have to be no to us, you have to follow our opinion. He said, no, I'm accepting that. He said, if in fact I'm right, in Shomayim, Ama Samayim Yochicho, they will prove it by having this stream of water. This river in Ama is a like a rivulet that's an Ama wide. So let this river over here flow the other way. Let it go backwards. And Chazru Ama Samayim Lacharem. And the water flowed the other way. The water is going north to south, and now it flow south to east. What a miracle. Amaloy said, miracles don't prove the din. Ain Vi and Raya, Me'ama Samayim. You can't bring a Raya from here. He says, again, in my law, if the law is like me, let the walls of the Beis HaMedrash come tumbling down. Let them fall over. Now, he too, and the walls started to come and lean and as if they were going to fall down. So, Rishua, who was the famous Bar Plukta throughout Shas of this Rabbi Eliezer Gold, Rabbi Eliezer Hercules. And Rishua, this is Rishua ben Chananya. So he got very angry at the walls. He, Gar, is like scoured at the walls. And Amar Lehem, he said to the walls, if we're having a fight here in the Beis Medrash and we're trying to argue the halacha one way or the other, what are you getting involved? Atem, ma tivchem, why are you involved? It has nothing to do with you. So stop. So the walls, out of cover for Rabbi Eliezer and out of cover for Rabbi Yeshua, now stood midway. They didn't fall down, but they didn't come back upright. So no naflu, they didn't fall down. Mibnei Kodesh Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua said, stop. And lo zokfu, but they didn't stand up. Mibnei Kodesh Rabbi Eliezer. Because Rabbi Eliezer was saying that he's right. And the walls wanted to demonstrate that he was right. So those walls, v'adayin matin v'omdim adayom hazeh. So those walls are still in this slanted position to demonstrate the cover for both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua to this very day. Okay. Chaz v'Rimol, and Rabbi Eliezer still tells them I'm right. In Malach Kibosi says, Mina Shamayim Yochichu, let a bas call come out from Shamayim and paskin like me or like you. Let's see what Hashem says. Let's see how Kodesh Baruch Hu paskins. So Yotz the bas call, a voice comes out from Shamayim, the Amra, Malucham Eitzel Rabbi Eliezer, why Chachamim are you arguing Rabbi Eliezer? Shalocha kemoso b'chol makom, because we always paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. In other words, Rabbi Eliezer is right. The Taner Achnoi is not in fact Tomei, it is Tahar. Nevertheless, Amar Yeshua, Yeshua Rabbi Chananya, the great Rabbi Yeshua, stands up on his feet. The Gemara tells us when Yeshua Chananya passed away, we had nobody to argue with the Romans. So, Allah has kama v'kama. If he can argue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he certainly was a great arguer with the Romans. And Amar Rabbi Yeshua Raglav, and he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Amar, lo bashamayim hi, you do not paskin HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we paskin halachas. What does that mean? My lo bashamayim hi? So Amar Rabbi Yirmiya says, Shekvar nitna Torah mi Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you gave us the Torah in Har Sinai, and you said, Achri Rabin Lahatos, and you said, we paskin halachas by the majority rule. And the majority here ruled against Rabbi Eliezer. So even though you may say he's right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and even though maybe we are wrong and he's right, but we don't accept his arguments, and we paskin that this Taner Achnoi is in fact Tomei. And ain anu mashgichin bevasko shekrak safto b'Har Sinai by Torah. Furthermore, it says in the Holy Torah that you gave us a Kodesh Baruch Hu, achrei rabim lahatos, and therefore we're not listening to any of these miracles, any of these rais, including the basko, and we're passing against Rabbi Eliezer. And interesting end to this story. Ashkei Rabbi Nosson Leilio, Rabbi Nosson, who had the schus to meet up and have Gilu Elio, to speak with Elio Hanavi. So he spoke with Elio and he said, "My Yavid Kutcha Brichu Ba'ishaita. What was HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying when Yeshua said to him, Lo b'shamayim hi, we're not going to listen to your psak aloch HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Amalei Elio said to Rabbi Nosson, he said, Kol chayich, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a chuckle, he laughed, the Omar nitzchuni bonai, nitzchuni bonai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, Kaviyacho laughed, and he said, listen, my children, they're following what the Torah said, and even if they're wrong, we follow the psak of the rabbim, and that becomes the halacha. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, smiled and said, my children are following exactly what I said to do. Tosus has an interesting question. Tosus says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu no longer smiles. It says in Dibur Masu Kochayich, he says, Omar in Reish Avodah Zarah, in the very beginning of Avodah Zarah, Miyom Shechor Beis HaMikdash, when the time that Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Nebuch Ein Shok, Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't laugh, he doesn't smile. So Tosus answers, says, no, that means kavur, that means on a regular basis. However, milso de b'dichuso b'yama hu d'yama. Yeah, but something like this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could smile, give a chuckle, so to say, kaviyacho, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so happy that his children are following what the Torah says, even if it goes against what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said was the psak din. The psak din is now given over to Beis Din, and that becomes the psak din, even if that is not correct. What an amazing maisa. Now, Amru also ayom, they continue, and said that day, Heviu kol taharu shetir Rabbi Eliezer usrofum ba'esh. So now the paskin, the base of majors, they concluded after everything was said and done, this tanur was in fact tame. So all the taharos, anything that had been baked in that tanur that was now paskin to be tame, so they had to go and get any of the taharos that were done there, and they had to burn them because they were now tame, so they burned them. Furthermore, they couldn't allow what Rabbi Eliezer had done to go uncorrected, so to say. The Nimnu Allah, and therefore they gathered together and they voted, and Uberchu, and they gave him a bracha. In other words, this is a kinui, this is an expression of putting him into Shamta. They put him into Cherim. The Armu, and they said, Mi Yelech V'Yodio, who is going to go and have the guts, so to say, to go and tell Rabbi Eliezer that you're put into Cherim? Now, this was a big concern because HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously listened to Rabbi Eliezer. He said he's always right. And if you do onah, if we go and hurt Rabbi Eliezer any more than we're absolutely allowed to, so then he's going to be upset. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to hear his being upset. And boy, oh boy, is he going to take it out on us. So Amalem Rabbi Akiva, so Rabbi Akiva said to the Chachamim, Anielach, he was a star pupil of both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. And learned by them for 40 years. The first 40 years of his life, he was an Am Aretz, and he learned by them and other Rebbeim as well, that we mentioned throughout Shas. For example, Ish Gamzu, or the Gamzu Litova, the famous Maisa with Ish Gamzu, Nochem Ish Gamzu. So he was his Rebbe also. He had other Rebbeim, but his main pupil, his main Rebbeim, he was a student of, were Rebbe Yeshua and Rebbe Eliezer. In any event, I will go, Rabbi Akiva says, because Shemo Yelech Odom She'eino Hagun, maybe somebody else who's not so appropriate will go, V'yodio, and he's going to tell Rabbi Eliezer, you're in Cherim, V'nimtza Machruv is called Olam Kula, and he's not going to tell him in the proper way, or it's not going to be done with the appropriate kavod, and Rabbi Eliezer is going to be upset, of course, Moshe is going to see that he's upset, he's going to take it out on the world, and be Machruv the whole world. So what did Rabbi Akiva do? Ma'asar Rabbi Akiva, he went, Lo Bashchorim. He put himself dressed up in black. That's what we have the expression that, you know, an Avo wears black, right? Women, when they go to a funeral, they wear black. So it's a sign of Avelus. Then it's Atesh Shorim, and he put it, his talus over his head, black. In other words, his cloak he put over his head. Again, talus doesn't mean a talus like we call it, a talus gadol, but he covered himself all in black. And he sat at a distance from Rabbi Eliezer of 4 amos, because the halach is, and somebody says, hey, we're not allowed to be within his dalet amos. And Amar lo Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer said to him, Nu, Akiva, my star pupil, Akiva, why are you sitting so far away from me? Why are you dressed up in black over here? So Amar lo, Rabbi Akiva tells him, Rabbi, he gives him great cover, Rabbi, you're my Rabbi. He was Rabbi Akiva. He called Rabbi Eliezer his Rabbi. Kimeduma li, it appears to me, Shechaverim b'deilim imcha, that you're Chaverim, the other Tamidei Chachamim, he used the Lashon that they're B'deilim Mimcha, that they have, so to say, excommunicated themselves, and that they are the ones that are in excommunication, therefore, you have to be 4 amos for me. Now, of course, Rabbi Eliezer understood what they meant, what Rabbi Akiva meant, that they had put him in Chaverim. So, Afu Kara Begodah V'cholas Min Olav, so Rabbi Eliezer understood he was put in Chaverim, and the person in Chaverim, he rips his clothing, he's like an Ovel, and he took off his shoes, he's not allowed to wear shoes, Nishmat, and he put himself in Shamta. He went down onto the floor. The Yoshav Agabi Karka, he sat on the ground. These are all things that we do in Avelus. And being in Shamta is like being in Avelus. And he cried. Zolgu Ein of Dumos, he cried. And at that moment, when the tears came from his eyes, as we had explained, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at those tears very, very, very carefully when tears are shed. So why are they being shed? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes Piron, he takes retribution. And what happened over here was law ka'olam, the world indeed, even though Rabbi Kiva told him as nicely and as properly as covered as he could, nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw the tears of Rabbi Eliezer and he destroyed a part of the world. Law ka'olam, the world was hit very hard. Shlish b'zeisim, a third of the olive crop, u'shlish b'chitim, a third of the wheat crop, u'shlish b'sorim, a third of the barley crop were destroyed. And others say, and even dough that was already in the hands of a woman, it swelled up, it spoiled, and was no good. So again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw the tears of Rabbi Lezer. That's why the story is brought down. And imagine if Rabbi Lezer, who the Chachamim had put into Shamta, and they felt that he had done something wrong, his tears are going to cause such a destruction. Imagine how much when somebody is right and they're caused to cry and they're hurt. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take vengeance on those to cause that to happen, Rachmana Litzlan. So this is the famous story of Rabbi Lezer, how he's put into Cherem. So Ach Godol Hoyo Be'Osayom. The Gemara has the gears of Ach. On the side it says some of the gears of Af, that there was a great anger that day. Others just say that there was a great Makkah that happened to Klal Yisrael that day. Shebuchol Malkum Shinosim Be'enav, Rabbi Lezer Nisraf. So any place where Rabbi Lezer saw, so it got burned up right away. Again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that the pain that Rabbi Lezer suffered, and whatever Rabbi Lezer saw, so it got burned up. And here we have the second part of this story, which is a phenomenal other sort of story, and we can learn a great halacha l'maisa from it. That day, Rabbi Lezer was coming back. They often went fundraising, and he was coming back from a boat. And Amal of Nashul Latavo. And that day, when Rabbi Gamliel had put Rabbi Lezer in Chayim, he was coming back on a boat, and Amal of Nashul Latavo. And this big storm, this big wave came to go and sink the boat. So Rabbi Gamliel, who was the Nasi of Klal Yisrael, knew what was going on. Amri said, Kimiduma li she'ein ze'ela bishul Rabbi Lezer ben Hercules, that this wave is coming to sink the boat because of what we did to Rabbi Lezer ben Hercules, that we put him in Shamta. So Amr Aragla, so Rabbi Gamliel gets up, he stands up on his feet, and he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yom HaRibonu Shel Olam, he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Galui v'yadua lefanech shelo lichvod yasisi, you know that we put him in Techeirim, not because of our kavod. Ah, how dare he argue with us? No! We did what was right for you. He said, I didn't do this to honor my father's household. No, we're the Nesim. You have to follow the Nesim. We did this to honor you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shlo Yirbu Machlokas B'Yisrael. Because if every person can go and say, I'm right, and the Chachamim are wrong, that the majority is wrong. No, I'm right. You have to follow me. So then that's going to lead to terrible Machlokas in Klal Yisrael. So we had to put our foot down. As great as Rabbi Lezer was, he was right, maybe. But we didn't paskin that way, and therefore we had to do something, and we put him into Shamta, not for our own personal reasons, but to protect the Torah. And that satisfied HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Noch Hayom Mizapo. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu had the wave calmed down, the sea was no longer angry, and Rabbi Gamliel was not drowned, the boat was not sunk. Now, as always things are, there was a family connection over here. In fact, Rabbi Eliezer's wife, Ima Shalom, was the sister of Rabbi Gamliel. So they were brothers-in-law. Ima Shalom, that was the name Rashi says, Devisu was the wife of the Rabbi Eliezer, and she was, I'll say, the sister of Rabbi Gamliel, boy. So they were brothers-in-law. Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Gamliel were brothers-in-law through Rabbi Gamliel's sister, Ima Shalom, who married Rabbi Eliezer. And Mehar Ma'is Ve'elech, one from the time that they put, Rabbi Gamliel put, the Chachamim put Rabbi Eliezer in Shamta, she never let, Ima Shalom never let her husband Rabbi Eliezer say Shmona Esrei and Tachnun together. Lo hava shofkolele Rabbi Eliezer lemei palalape. She never allowed him to go and say Tachlin right after Shmona Esrei. The Mepharshim explained, it can't be that she never allowed him to say Tachlin. How could that possibly be? So we learn from here the importance of connecting Shmona Esrei and Tachlin without any interruption in between them. And Rav Shach the Shlita said, if people only understood how important the Tefillah of Tachlin is, how powerful it is, they wouldn't be so happy every time we don't say Tachlin. They wouldn't be upset about, oh, Tachlin's too long on Mondays and Thursdays. They would understand the great power of this Tefillah, and they would say it with such Kavanah. And that's what happened over here. Ima Shalom, the wife of Rabbi Eliezer, knew that if her husband wasn't interrupted between Shmona Esrei and saying Tachlin, that would be the end of Rabbi Gamliel, her brother. And every day she would go and interrupt him That's what the Talmidei Rashba say. They say the same thing that the Ritva says, that they wouldn't, she wouldn't allow him to go and ever say Tachlin without being first interrupted, and then the Tachlin doesn't have the same power. One day, however, how Yoma was Reisha Yarchahava. She thought it was Rosh Chodesh. However, the Ichlaf law bein Mali l'chaser, but she didn't realize that in fact it wasn't Rosh Chodesh. She didn't realize that the month had been made into a leap month, and that there were 30 days in the month. She thought there were only 29 days in the month. So on the 30th day, she said, "Oh, Baruch Hashem, today is Rosh Chodesh. There's no Tachnun, and therefore I don't have to go and interrupt my husband's from Mishmon Esrei to Tachnun." And therefore, she didn't interrupt them. Alternatively, Ikud Yamri, there's another version that said, Osa Anya V'koya Baba, that a very poor person came and stood by their door and was asking for tzedakah. So she was about to go and make sure that her husband didn't say Shmoneh Esrei and Tachlin together. She thought she had time, Afika L'Ritta, to go and give him some bread. And Ashkach did an awful lot on pay, but he either said a shorter Shmoneh Esrei that day, he didn't go as long, or whatever happened, and that day, either because she didn't interrupt because she thought it was Rosh Chodesh, or because she wasn't able to interrupt because she was giving bread, she's doing a mitzvah of giving tzedakah to this ani, he did tachdun immediately after Shmoneh Esrei. Ashkechei did novel alan pei. He fell down on his face, did tachdun right away, and she ran to him and said, our relation said to her husband, come, quick, get up. Katlusli ochi, you're going to kill my brother, because if you say tachdun, right, connect to Shmoneh Esrei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to see the pain that you suffered at the hands of my brother, Abu Galil, who was the Nasi, who ended up putting you into Shamta, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take vengeance on him and will kill him. In fact, Adahochi Nofak Shipura Mi Beis Rabban Gamliel Dushochev. And in fact, at that moment, the pronouncement came out that in fact, Rabban Gamliel had passed away. Amar Lo, Rabbi Eliezer said to his wife, "You know your dad? How did you know this?" So Amar Lo, she says, "Kach Mekublani Mi Beis Avi Abba. I had heard from my parents' house." And this is such a good day for me to say over the daf, Lili Nishmas, my father, because I've heard so many things and have so many customs from my father. So, Kachli Kublani Beis Avi Abba. I heard, she said, from my father's house, who she comes from David HaMelech, right? She was from the lineage of Rabbi Gamliel, who was the Dasi, who came from David HaMelech. So, Kol HaShar Ninolim Chutz Mishari Yonah. And that comes to the conclusion of this story and why it was brought here. She said, because Rabbi Eliezer was hurt. Even though it may have been appropriate, and even though everything was done kedas v'chedin, nevertheless, the shari onah, the fact that he was pained and he was hurt, those gates are always open, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will respond to the tears and the onah that comes from people that have been hurt. Kol HaShem Yinolim, all the gates may be closed, the gates of Tfilah blocked somewhat to a certain extent, but shari onah are always open. Okay, Gemara continues. Tana Rabbanan, Hama'anes Ager. You're not allowed to go and hurt a ger. You're not allowed to do onaz dvarim to a ger. Over b'shlosh alav, you're over three transgressions, v'halochatso, and if you pressure him, so then over b'shtayim, then you're over two. We'll ultimately say you're over three as well. Now, maishna me'aneh, why do we say there are three by me'aneh? Because there are three psukim. D'chsiv e'shlosh alav, because it says three times. V'ger lo soneh, v'ger itcho ger b'yatzchem lo sonu oso, and lo sonu ish es amiso, v'ger b'chal amiso. So there are three psukim that tell us don't go and cause onah to a ger. It says b'feirish three times. If that's your argument, so then by lochatso, in giving him pressure, so it also says it three times, lochatso nami. It says in regards to a ger, shloshuk sivi, three psukim, lo suchatsenu, v'ger lo suchats, and lo siyeh, lo kinosheh. So three times it says by the ger as well. The ger b'chlalhu. And ger, it wasn't specifically mentioned in the last one, but he's included that you're not allowed to go and give a hard time to a ger if he owes you money. So Gemara says, you're right, Taka. Ella echozev yechozev b'shloshu. Right, we were wrong when the Braisa brought down that it says there's three by onah and only two by lachatz, by pressure, by oppression. So then, no, it really was three by each. Ella echozev yechozev b'shloshu. Fine. Tani, we learned another brisa. Rabbi Lezer HaGadol Omer, the great Rabbi Lezer said, "Mipnei ma hizhira Torah b'lamed vav mekomos v'amri lo b'mem vav mekomos beger." Why does it say in either 36 places or in 46 places that one has to be very careful not to hurt a ger? Why? Mipnei shesura ra. Because his natural tendencies, his nature, he's growing up amongst the goyim, and they have a different way of life. They have different set of values. As I said, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Yet names will hurt you. We believe very, very strongly in that. So therefore, he comes from a different upraising. So therefore, you have to be very, very careful. Mipnei shesura ra. Because he's trying to go the right thing. He's trying to become a yid. He's trying to become an erlich yid. So you have to be very, very, very careful with him. Now, The Gemara continues, says, "Maida said, what does the pasuk mean when it says, V'ger lo sonev lo sochotzenu, ki gerim yisem b'eretz Mitzrayim?" Right, how appropriate for Pesach. We're coming up on Pesach, and we remind ourselves that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. We were strangers in a strange land. So we were living in Mitzrayim. So Tanina, that's the gersa that we have. On the side it says it should be, Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Rabbi Nosson Omer, Rabbi Nosson teaches us, Mum Shebucha al Tomer lechaverecha. So what it's telling us over here is that blemish that you have, be careful not to point it out to your friend. Behind the Amrishin, this is the popular saying that people have, the popular aphorism, Dizikif le Zikifa bidiyukos, bidiyoske, lo name ale lechabre, Zikev binisha. That if a person had in his family somebody that was hung, Rechmon Lestan, somebody in his family that committed a crime and he was hung up. So don't even use the word hung or hanging to that person. And don't say, here, hang up this fish on your hook over there. So you have to be very, very, very careful. So we were gerim in a strange land. So we have to be especially careful. Mum Shebechot, we were strangers. We were gerim in a strange land. So this ger, who's misgayer, and he comes to us, he's coming from a different background. He's like a stranger in a strange land, right? The person who's a convert, he doesn't know the alderman hugging. He doesn't know all the practices. He hasn't had a life that he's been raised from birth to know that the Jewish people do this, the Jewish people do that, that we act in a different way. So therefore, Mitnei Shesur Ra, you have to be very careful, and that's what as Brisa, the Rabbi Nosson brings down, and that's what the member from the Gemara says, you have to be very, very careful with the ger, because we also are once gerim, and we should have a special sensitivity, a special understanding how difficult it is for them. This is a good break point. Again, I learned the shir today, Lila Nishmas, my holy father, Avi Mari, Yosef Nisan ben Yecheskel, his holy Neshav Shev and Aliyah from the learning, and I again thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving me such a father. I'm Baruch Hashem, I've been blessed with the parents that I have, and I mentioned my Aunt Berta as well, always in the same breath, she was such an important part of my upbringing, and B'ezus Hashem, there should be Trias HaMesim soon, and we should all be back together in Yerushalayim HaBnuya, B'mehera B'yomenu. Have a wonderful day.